The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it was a mistake, and I apologize for it. I think in hindsight, it was the wrong thing to do.
We now have a quarter of the electorate just saying spontaneously, without being prompted. The biggest problem in Britain is its own politicians.
Changing one man at the top of the Tory party won't make any difference. It won't fix the problems. Let's have a fresh start for Britain. Let's have a real change of government.
You're listening to Bloomberg Westminster, a daily guide to British politics. I'm Ewan Potts.
And good afternoon, I'm Caroline Hepke. So coming up on today's programme, we're going to speak to Labour's Shadow Transport Minister, Sam Tarry, and Vera Hobhouse, the Liberal Democrat MP for Bath, the party's justice spokesperson.
But first, expect the unexpected. Words all politicians must surely live by. Things can go wrong. A question you don't expect. A technical issue. In John Prescott's case, a stray egg thrown by a protester. It wasn't really stray, was it? It was directed at him. But it's often the reaction that makes the news, and those little glimpses of the person behind the persona that can really define people's public image.
Yeah, of course, Prescott then famously punched the man who threw the egg, his reputation for then being a political bruiser really stuck. Ed Miliband was branded pretty indecisive when he couldn't answer that biscuit question during the Mumsnet debate. Theresa May was dubbed the Maybot after doing some decidedly dicey dance moves on the way up to a podium.
So, Caroline, I don't know how you would react if you're put under a large amount of pressure. Any incidents you can remember?
Well, all of this, of course, in relation to Liz Truss and the fact that she's sort of become a bit of a meme with her reaction. Nobody in the audience understood what was happening. We just heard the thud, but of course it was the presenter of the debate last night who had actually fallen and had fainted. Listen, I do think it is a test of your mettle. I remember doing an interview with someone who, it turns out, had had such a terrible panic attack, but it looked very closely to my cameraman and I as if the person was having a heart attack. And yeah, it does. It tests you as to your instant reactions.
Yeah, lots of speculation about how Rishi Sunak reacted, of course, because we've mostly seen how Liz Truss reacted. And
well, the newspaper's already picking up on that very question. Apparently, the line out from Sunak's camp is that he did rush over to Kate McCann to hold her hand.
Of course.
Well, someone else who was watching the debate closely, the UK government, our UK government reporter Emily Ashton. Great to have you with us, Emily. Thanks so much for sparing some time. So, Rishi Sunak versus Liz Truss for the leadership last night. What did you make of the policy debate, first of all? Is it really a U-turn by Sunak in terms of cutting VAT on energy bills? That's what Liz Truss would have you believe.
Yeah, so this debate was the Sun Talk TV debate last night. We only got half an hour of it, as you say, and we hope Kate McCann is doing well this morning. But yeah, this pledge from Rishi actually came later that evening. So after the debate, he put out this release saying, do you know what? I've decided, actually, I'm going to pledge to scrap VAT on domestic energy bills if prices keep rising. And that was seized on by Truss's camp and by Labour as being hypocritical, because he had been the person saying, oh, tax cuts, they're fairy tales. You don't want to be doing that. You're going to saddle generations with debt. And suddenly, they say, he's realised, oh, hang on a minute, I'm quite behind Liz Truss in his opinion polls. I'm going to have to pull something out of the bag here. Also worth noting that he did vote against Labour's plan to do exactly this in January in the House of Commons. So he seems to have done a bit of an about turn there.
Emily, I wonder what you think about the Liz Truss moments. Do you think this is that's going to be somewhat defining of the leadership? Will it be a moment where she was seen as more human? Because some people do say that she's been a bit wooden in some of the debates so far. Or is it all going to be forgotten in a couple of weeks?
Well, I think it will have done her no harm at all. And it was a genuinely shock moment when that happened halfway through the debate. You know, she's in the middle of answering a question on detailed policy. Something happens in front of her and we're not clear what it is at the time. Sounded like a big clatter, a big thud. And she was genuinely shocked and rushed over to help. And I'm sure, as you say, Rishi Sunak did the same, but the camera wasn't on him. So, you know, it's not clear what happened. But to see that kind of very human reaction, I think will do her no harm at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Just lastly, a thought then on the strike action today. We're in the middle of a train strike today. There's another one on Saturday. I mean, this is another issue for whoever becomes Prime Minister.
Yeah, you know, this is nothing new now. The fourth day of strikes in 5 weeks, we think. You know, only a fifth of train journeys expected to go ahead in the UK today. Still massive issues over pay. It's difficult. You know, after COVID, we expected people to be kind of rewarded with the people who keep the country running, with better pay, better conditions. But actually, you can see the loss of people in those frontline working positions are saying, hang on a minute, where was that we were promised? Well, our pay seems to have gone down as inflation is soaring, and you might see teacher strikes in the autumn as well. All things that the next Prime Minister is going to have to contend with.
Pretty big inbox. Emily Ashton, thanks so much for joining us. That's our UK government reporter, Emily Ashton.
Well, speaking of those strikes, so we have 40,000 members of the National Union Rail, Maritime and Transport Workers Union on strike across the country today, meaning just 20% of rail services are working in the latest in a series of strike days. It's also a major test of authority for the Labour Party leader, Keir Starmer. Joining us now is Labour's Shadow Transport Minister, Sam Tarry. Sam, you are actually joining us from a picket line right now in relation to transport pay. Keir Starmer has said you shouldn't be on the picket line. Why are you, Sam Tarry?
So look, I'm actually on a demonstration of local residents, MPs and bus drivers in Putney in southwest London because they're facing cuts to some of the bus routes relied on by local people here whilst the drivers are facing attacks on their terms and conditions. But I was this morning at Euston with members of the TSSA and RMT unions. I think it's incredibly important that we show support for 40,000 low-paid workers who have decided to go on strike. Remember, lots of those people are on wages around the £25,000 mark. You know, the people in Network Rail are safety critical, which means if their jobs go, Network Rail could actually be facing a Potter's Bar or Hatfield-style disaster. Many of the TSSA members are low-paid workers working in ticket offices. You know, they're actually facing not just attacks on their terms and conditions and pay in Avanti West Coast, but also that in the long term, or medium term even, many of the ticket offices will be closed permanently. That means for visually impaired and disabled passengers, it will be far more difficult to buy tickets and to have accessibility on those stations. What we're seeing at the moment, not just in London where we're campaigning against these bus cuts, but obviously nationally, about the perilous situation bus networks find themselves in all over the country, as well as obviously these strikes that are obviously affecting the rail network, is that the government are just not serious about public transport.
Now, okay. Have you spoken to Keir Starmer today, though? Starmer has explicitly said that he doesn't want to see his team members, you, on the picket line.
I haven't spoken to Keir Starmer today. I'm a shadow minister for transport. And, you know, my positions on these issues have been clear for a very long time.
He says that shadow ministers should not be on rail picket lines. So you think his policy is wrong on that?
Look, Keir Starmer is rightly focused on getting into number 10. I've worked day in, day out for the last 2.5 years, and I'll continue to do so to get into number 10. So I believe the best man to be Prime Minister. And I tell you what, these strikes would not be taking place if Keir Starmer was Prime Minister and if my team running the Department of Transport. That's where he wants to be. because we're serious about public transport, we're serious about funding it, we're serious about supporting workers to get a pay rise, and we're also serious about tackling climate change. So the reality is, under a Labour government, these strikes wouldn't even be an issue.
Sam, how much should train workers get in terms of a pay rise then?
It just depends, because obviously you're talking about quite a variety of people that are on strike today, from people in booking office clerks that's here today, to infrastructure, sort of track maintenance workers with RMT. And obviously you've then got another 14 train operating companies, plus obviously on Saturday, ASLEF, who are the train drivers, go on strike as well. So it wouldn't be right for me to sort of say a specific figure, but what I would say is what has been offered at the moment clearly isn't acceptable. Because if you're offering to say, we're going to raise your pay, then actual fact it's a real terms pay cut because inflation is so high, then that is exactly why these people are on strike.
With inflation, though, close to 10%, surely there must be a floor, 5, 6, 8%. That surely must be clear across the board. All of these workers are going to be facing that same inflation challenge.
Absolutely. And you're going to be seeing doctors. The BMA have now started to talk about balloting for strike. You've got the communication workers' unions, so people in postal and BT, the highest ever record result for a strike ballot. I think over 97% of their workers. You've got nurses, you've got people in local government, you've got teachers, you've got the university and colleges union. So it's not even restrained to one particular sector, or even the private or public sector. It's across all parts of society. People are saying we can't make ends meet.
But Sam, if I were, listen, Sam, if I were a union member and I were paying my dues, no matter whether I was a rail worker or a nurse or whatever it might be, I would want to know what the union was going to deliver for me. If you can't put a figure on it, and indeed your party leader has not put a figure on what a fair pay settlement would be, that would be.
Believe me, I wish I was running the campaign. I wish I was in control of the Department of Transport, because I was given the flexibility to come to a negotiation where the RMT and TSA would be able to agree on a fair funding package. I'm not in those negotiations. I'm not going to have the detail of them. But the RMT and TSA and all the other unions that are taking industrial action are very clear. You can't just be offered below inflation pay rises, because that is actually a real term pay cut. Mm. You have to remember, lots of these workers have not had pay rises, some of them for over a decade now. So actually, their wages now are worth less than they were 10 years ago. When you're putting 100 quid in a tank of fuel, when you're paying 1,500 quid just to, you know, sort of in London, typically fuel and energy bills for sort of 2 or 3 bedroom house, how on earth is anyone going to say that accepting something that's actually in a real terms pay cut is okay? No union leader could ever agree to that.
Sam, you've been facing a really bruising re-selection battle in Ilford. Do you think the Labour's rules make it too easy to challenge city MPs?
I think in my particular selection, there's some serious cases of actual confirmed electoral fraud. We had a local councillor recently who just spent 18 months inside Pentonville for electoral fraud. There was a number of things that happened in terms of rigging votes. It's now potentially a matter of a police investigation. So I can't really comment too much further, but there are some serious things that went wrong with that process, because I'm confident I've got the full support of my local party members.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline, it's teamwork, and it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Well, it's maybe recess in Westminster, but MPs rarely get much of a holiday, especially with a caretaker Prime Minister in charge and so many economic dangers lurking. Let's discuss these big issues with Vera Hobhouse, who's Liberal Democrat MP for Bath and the party's justice spokesperson. Welcome back to the programme, Vera. Thanks for being with us. Rishi Sunak says that he will scrap VAT on gas and electricity if he becomes the next Prime Minister, and average bills, of course, are set to rise to around £3,000. Would Liberal Democrats take more radical measures? What would you do on this big issue of rising energy bills?
Well, first of all, any Tory leadership candidate is now sort of making massive promises without actually sort of backing them up. And certainly you have to look at their record of what they've done in the past. And usually they have done nothing or very little and always too late. So when we proposed a windfall tax, they finally came up with it when Boris Johnson was in trouble and said, OK, we are doing this. And we had been asking for it for over 7 or 8 months. And that, of course, meant that people were already becoming destitute during the last winter. So what are they doing? They're always doing too little, too late. We Liberal Democrats have actually asked for VAT cuts across the board, not just on energy bills. So if we were in charge, we would try to do something a lot bolder and better and more cutting to everybody. But, let him promise something. He does it now during the leadership campaign. Who knows what they're actually going to deliver if they were the Prime Minister.
What about something bolder like they've done in France? France has the lowest inflation rate of any major economy in Europe. They've nationalised their energy company, EDF. Do you think we should do something like that in this country?
Well, this is just simply not on the cards. I think once you have privatized something, it costs a government so much money to renationalize companies and utilities and whatever has been privatized by successive governments in the last 30 years. So none of that is directly on the cards, because that will cost a government even more when the government finances are very, very precarious.
Okay. Is there anything really that the government can do then about other rising prices? You say that the Liberal Democrats would do more, faster, better, to help households. But is all of this expensive? Can the government really do anything about other rising food and other costs?
Well, indeed, I'm not going for leadership or indeed becoming the chancellor. So I haven't, and also I'm not really have no sight of all the detailed information. But it's a very fine balance, and it always depends on who you actually want to burden with the bigger and higher prices. And the general principle should always be that those who can least afford it should not be the ones who suffer most. So it is about equality in the end, and spreading tax rises or tax cuts so that actually those who can more afford it will get more of the burden, those who can least afford it get less of the burden. And there's a lot of detail in that. And target support for those who most need it, rather than always just give everybody a relief, except for example, VAT cuts. Of course, that affects then everybody, because everybody's going to feel the pinch. But where people are struggling most, they need targeted support, and that is the basic principle that I would follow if I was a chancellor.
On another subject, we've got more disruption on the railways again today. Do you think the government simply needs to throw more money at the problem and agree to a better pay settlement?
Well, first of all, Grant Shapps needs to go and actually face the negotiations and be in the room. And he has been avoiding that for such a long time. So, while he sits and sits around the table with a zombie prime minister in the cabinet, he refuses to get around the table with rail companies. So that's the first principle. And I think he has failed to do that for a long time. And so I pin the blame sort of very, very firmly on the Transport Secretary, Grant Shapps.
Okay. You are, of course, we mentioned the Liberal Democrat Party spokesperson on justice. Now, barristers are also going to resume strike action next week. I mean, the government's already made what looks like quite a big offer in terms of fees. Do you think that they are right to continue striking, that is, barristers in the UK?
Where would we be if not everybody had access to justice and those who are in the judiciary are being paid their fair wage? And therefore, you know, I understand that the whole of the justice system is going to collapse if we have a workforce that simply feels that they're not being recognised, appreciated and adequately remunerated for what they're doing. They're doing an amazing job. I support them.
Are you worried about what happens this winter when, if and when Putin turns off the gas? Do you think Europe's united stance on Russia is going to fall apart? Will the infighting take over?
Well, I hope not. I think, of course, if you have to negotiate amongst 27 countries, all with their own interests, rather than just being on your own, and Britain has left the European Union for that reason because they just want to make their own decisions rather than having to negotiate that across 27 other countries. Of course, the danger that there's some discontent is bigger, but at the same time, I think the European Union has actually demonstrated that they can come around the table despite their differences and find a common position. And I hope that will be the case in the future as well. You know, clearly, many countries have made very unwise decisions around energy. And in fact, the UK is in a better position. The UK is less dependent on Russian gas than a lot of European countries. So it's actually surprising that Britain is in absolutely the same boat with energy crisis and energy prices. And I should remind people that actually you can leave the European Union, you can think you want to do your own thing, but actually what you're really dependent on is global energy prices. So Britain, although it is less dependent on Russian gas, is just as much victim of the whole situation as any other European country.
Yeah, and also perhaps it's less about kind of European infighting or the possibility of that. It's more simply about the economic reality that if Putin shuts off the gas, it's going to be immensely painful to industry, to consumers, and that is the pressure on Europe. I mean, what do you think happens to Britain's stance? Johnson sort of took pride in being very pro-Ukrainian in terms of the military support that Britain has given. Does that get watered down, you know, if Europe is under pressure and the UK is slightly out on a limb? What happens to our kind of defence stance here?
Well, I think, I mean, I'm not a member of the European Parliament and I British politics, and we don't always see the detail of European politics, but my feeling from what I know about Europe and what I know about when I talk to my German family and friends is that the stance to stand up against Russia is as strong, and European countries are as determined as Britain is to stand up against Russia. Don't forget that, you know, Germany and Russia had their massive differences during the Cold War. Angela Merkel has always said she never underestimates, you know, what the Russians are ultimately up to. We have lived, you know, half of Germany has lived under Russian occupation for many decades. So there's no illusions about what the Russians are doing. Was there illusions in the last sort of 30 years before Putin invaded Ukraine? Yes, there was. But it was everywhere, including the UK, because everybody sort of hoped against hope that Putin would not invade. He did. Since then, the whole mood has shifted entirely, and the resolve to stand up against this totally unacceptable invasion of Ukraine is not going to be let pass, whatever happens. And you know what will happen to our energy policy in this country and across Europe, that is obviously much more worrying. We will probably see that more dirty energy resources are going to be used, like coal power stations are going to be fired up again. And that worries me as somebody who who knows that we need to tackle the climate emergency. But I think it's less a resolve in terms of military terms. What will be compromised on is a resolve to get to net zero.
So that on the coming winter. On the Tory leadership, who would you find a tougher opponent? Rishi Sunak or Liz Truss?
I find they're both as bad as each other. They have propped up a lying, as we can all now say, prime minister for such a long time. I don't care either of them. Who becomes the Tory leadership? They are all sitting in the very right hand corner of the Conservative Party. And what it really needs is it needs a change of government.
And so you'd be advocating then for a fresh general election? Do you think that whoever takes over as Tory leader and therefore Prime Minister has to go to the public in order to get that vote of support, I suppose, through a general election?
It's not my decision. Let's wait and see. But I think a lot of MPs are election ready, including ourselves.
Bloomberg Westminster. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.